In the presentations, we discuss the benefits of a long-term orientation with investments that have returned 8, 9, 10% or more over decades. And we say, look, if we invest prudently and we receive close to what these investments have gotten over the last 100 years or so, we should do okay. But let's see some examples. Now, before we begin, I want to stress that these calculations are not going to be on the exam. We will do calculations very similar to these later on when we look at valuation, but we're going to do the inverse operation. Some of you may have taken Business 121, Financial Planning and Money Management, and learned how to do these calculations, and once you do them a few times, it's pretty darn easy. So for these people, it will be review. In fact, they're basically the same calculations. But for others who have not seen the value of long-term compound average rates of return of 11%, 9%, 8%, 9%, 10%, 11%, then this is going to be hopefully an eye-opener for you. Now, if you look at the worksheet, you'll see that there are two formulas. You, again, I told you at the beginning, all you need is add, subtract, multiply, and divide. But these formulas have exponents. Don't worry about it. We use the tables. We use the tables, which are basically the exponents are built into the tables. So you might want to print that out or have it the next document where it says future value tables available to you. But again, you don't have to do these, so don't worry about it. But it's something to see. In fact, you might want to just, it's up to you, run to the answer key and see what the results are. But I'm going to go through the worksheet together. We'll go through it together. And so if you want to continue, keep right on going. So print out or have at your disposal the Future Value Exercises Worksheet. Number one, your grand aunt, Isabel Ringing. Isabel Ringing. See, this is what you're missing in the face-to-face class. We have lots of bad jokes. Recently passed away and left you her favorite grandniece, grandnephew, $10,000. Woo-hoo-hoo! She always told you how important it was to save for a rainy day. You resist the urge to blow the 10 grand on durable and non-durable consumer items. Instead, you put the money into a savings account that earns 10% over 10 years. Wait a minute. Where are you going to get a savings account at 10%? Not these days. How much will you have at the end of 10 years? Is this enough to buy a car or a down payment on a house? So 10%. Well, we could use the formulas, but we don't need to. We run to the tables, and here's the trickiest part about these problems, deciding whether we want to use the top table or the bottom table. The top table is the first formula, the lump sum principle, the single payment, the one-time payment, and that's what this is. We're getting $10,000 once, whereas the bottom table is the second formula, the future value of a series of payments, a stream of investments, a series of deposits, multiple payments. They all mean the same thing. Are we getting $10,000 more than once? No, we're only getting it once. So that's the top table, or if you want to do the exponential calculation, the first formula. So we go across the table to 10%, the top table, and down 10 years, and we find a future value multiplier. And that number is 2.594. Do you see that? Check it out. Make sure you find it. If not, contact me. Go across the 10% on the top table, go down to 10 years, and you see the future value multiplier. And you don't have to remember that's what it's called, but that's what it's called. 2.594. Did you find it? I hope so. And if not, yes. If not, stop, sit down, make sure you figure it out, or contact me. So that future value multiplier, 2.594 is multiplied times $10,000, the lump sum principal for 10 years at 10%, and we get $25,940. So not bad, huh? Is this enough for a car or a down payment on a house? Yeah. But, do most people have $10,000 dropped in their lap? Maybe once or twice in your lifetime, but not too often, right? So how are we going to invest? We're going to invest more as the next three people do in problems 2, 3, and 4. So let's start reading problem number 2. Ben Dover is 30 years old. Ben, you know, good old Ben. Used to play roller derby for the Kansas City Bombers. Yeah, this year he plans to start putting $5,000 per year into a Roth IRA. Well, wait a minute, what's a Roth IRA? Well, it's a type of retirement account that we discuss in detail in Business 121, Financial Planning and Money Management, and we'll take a quick look at it at the end of the semester. Of course, if you want to discuss it further in detail, contact me, because I can talk about this stuff far longer than any reasonable person would ever want to listen. So he starts at age 30, and he does this for 30 years until age 60. Now, if he gets that same 10%, how much will Ben have in his Roth IRA? Well, this is not a single lump sum principal, is it? No, it's a series of investments. But still, $5,000 is a lot of money. Where did he get it? Well, you know what? Ben's been paying $5,000 per year for the last 5 years. Yeah, he went at age 25 and bought a Ford Explorer. And the payments were only $416.67 per month. See, they don't tell you that you're going to be spending $5,000 a year on that car as you drive it off the lot. They tell you how much it's going to be per month. Well, $5,000 a year is about a little over $400 a month. And so Ben's been making these payments, but he hasn't been making the payments to himself. He's been making the payments to Ford Motor Credit Corporation to pay off the Ford Explorer. And so now it's paid off. And he says, no more. I am now going to pay myself first. I'm going to put that same $416.66 into a Roth IRA. And I'm going to invest prudently with an eye toward long-term growth. And I should get 10% unless the world ends, in which case it doesn't matter where your money is. So which table do we use? We use the bottom table. And if you're so inclined, if you want to use the exponential formula, go right ahead. Again, we don't need to use exponents in this class. We do add, subtract, multiply, and divide. So we go across to 10% on the bottom table, the series of investments, the stream of deposits. And then we run down to 30 years, and we find the future value multiplier is 164.494. Did you see that? Make sure you figured it out, because this is very important. It's not, because remember, we're not going to do these in this class. We do them in the financial planning and money management class. But we're going to use the same technique later on in the semester, so we'll come back to this. So that $5,000 yearly investment, because these tables are yearly, times the future value multiplier of 164.494 gives us over $800,000. Now, wait a minute. How much did Ben put away? $5,000 times 30 years is $150,000. Now, that sounds like a lot of money, dear students, but it's less than what many of you are going to spend on cars over your working career. Yeah, it is, especially if you want a big money waster car. I'm sorry, break my wallet. Beautiful Mexican women. BMW, right. If you want to have a highfalutin car that costs $50,000 and you're going to buy a new one every, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, you're going to spend more than $150,000 over 30 years. But you look at it at the aggregate, do you? You look at it what you're paying next month. So that 10% compounded every year on that series of investments turned into $822,000. And that's what we're talking about, dear students. And you might say, well, hey, Payana, where am I going to get 10%? Relax, relax. If you've gone through the presentations in chapter one, you've already seen that some investments have given us over 10%. We're going to see more as the semester continues. So now let's take a look at number three. Eileen Forward is Ben's cousin, and she's 20 years old. She puts the same $5,000 into a Roth IRA, but she only does this until age 30, only 10 years. And then she stops making contributions. For whatever reason, she only does it for 10 years. With that same 10% annual rate, how much will Eileen have at age 60? Now, the hint is, this is a double problem. It's a two-part problem. You need both future value tables. Since Ben is saving $5,000 for 30 years, while Eileen is only saving $5,000 for 10 years, Ben is sure that he's going to have more money than Eileen. Now, the question is he right? Okay, so now we have to think about this. Okay, first of all, $5,000 times 10 years is 50 grand. So she's only going to put in 50,000. He's going to put $150,000 in. So, right, he's going to have more, right? Right, right. Well, let's see. Now, the first part of the problem is a stream of investments, a series of deposits, a multiple payments, right? $5,000 for 10 years. And so we use that same bottom table, the series of deposits, stream of investments, multiple payments table. Go across to 10%, but this time only 10 years. And you see the future value multiplier is 15.937. So $5,000 times the future value multiplier of 15.937 is $79,685, almost 80 grand at age 30. At age 30, she has almost $80,000. Now, what can she do with that? That's a tremendous down payment on a house. Or maybe she's going to go around the world two or three times. But whatever reason, she decides to just leave it sit there. That's her nest egg. That's her retirement account. She's going to let it sit. Now, she waits until age 60, 30 years. But it's no longer a series of payments. It's a series of deposits, series of payments, a stream of investments. It's now a lump sum principal, starting at age 30 until age 60. So now we would use the top table. We would say to ourselves, okay, 10% for 30 years, go across the 10%, go down 10 years, but on the top table, because we're not making any other payments to this, we're leaving it sit, and we start with almost 80,000. That multiplier is 17.449. Did you find it? If not, contact me. Yeah. So you multiply the 79,685 times 17.449. Wait a minute. $1,390,423.57. She has a half a million more, 600,000 more than he does. How did that happen? She only put 50 grand. He put 150,000. What did Eileen have more of? She didn't have more money to contribute. She had more time. She started at age 20. And if you go back and look at those formulas at the top of the page, you'll see that the exponent is time. Time, when you're young, is your ally, is your friend. It's time in the markets, not timing the markets, that will make you very wealthy over time, unless the world ends, and then it doesn't matter where your money is. Now, is it realistic to have somebody 20 years old put $400 a month away, $5,000 a year, into a Roth IRA? Well, for many of students who are still struggling in college, no, it's not. But I can't tell you how many students who have come up to me who were in the military or still were in the military at age 18, 19, 20, and were making a good, you know, good salary, at the same time had money of their expenses paid for, and they said, I bought a new car every couple of years, I partied, I spent all of it. Yeah. And dear students, on the website, there is in the Business 121 class, there is a story, couple stories from the San Diego Useless Tribune, Union Tribune, where a gentleman by the, I forget his name now, but by the, at the age of 14, decided he had a goal for himself, a financial goal for himself. He was going to buy a house. What happened at 14 is he and his four siblings, two sisters, two brothers, and he were separated in foster care. And he set a goal for himself that he was going to have a house so that his siblings could all live together. He saved every dime, scrimped, worked hard. 10 years later, age 24, he bought a house in Nestor. Now, you know where Nestor is? You know where there's a... You're tootling down I-5 to San Ysidro and you see those drive-in movies at Coronado Avenue. That's where Nestor starts, right? Yeah, so you can do it. You can do it. Now, don't worry if you can't put $400 a month away right now. Can you put 50? Or wait, the key is to get started sometime in your 20s, 30s. You don't want to wait until your 40s, folks, or 50s, because then time becomes your enemy. And when you get to be my age. Yeah, so you can do it. But do you really need $400 a month? No, no, no. Let's take a look at number four. Kneel down. Kneel down. Bend over. I lean forward and kneel down. Their friend is 18 years old. He's already a $5. Starbucks addict. Do you know any Starbucks addicts? He stops by there at least once a day, sometimes twice. Ben and Eileen are trying to get him to give up his habit and place the money into a Roth IRA. If he just puts $60 per month into the same IRA, earning 10%, how much will he have at age 68? If he saves $5 per day, that's $150 a month. So, you know any Starbucks addicts? Do they get the $2 regular coffee or the $5 crappuccino with the 30-weight oil? They get the $5 crappuccino with the 30-weight oil. So that's $150 per month. But remember, it's the tables are annual. So $150 per month is $1,800 per year. And he's going to do this for 50 years, starting at age 18. Is this a lump sum or a series of investments? It's a series of investments. So go to the bottom table, go across the 10%, down 50 years, and what's the future value multiplier? 1163.909. Multiply that $18,000 times 1163.909, and dear students, Neil will have over $2 million in his Roth IRA. And the cool thing about a Roth IRA is it's all tax-free. Yes, it is. So, dear students, do you need to have a ton of money to invest? The answer is no. The key is to start early and invest with an eye toward long-term growth, and that's exactly what you're going to learn how to do in this semester. So you might be chomping at the bit saying, Piano, show me now. Relax, relax. Very soon, in fact, next chapter, when we get to chapter, it's actually four in the book, but it's our second chapter, when we look at mutual funds, we're going to see some mutual funds that have done 10%, 11%, 12%, 13% over decades. And if you'll notice, the last problem is rerun these problems with 5%, 8%, 12%, or even 13%. And dear students, once you get above 12, 13%, if you can consistently do that, and some people have, you're going to make a ton of money. So we hope that this has been illuminating to you. We hope that you realize that the news is good. And if you stick with us, we will show you many investments that have done 10, 11, 12%. But realize, I don't know about you, but I'm happy with 8 or 9. I don't have to win big. I just have to win. And of course, I'm at the end of my So I sure wish somebody would have showed me this when I was 18, 19, 20 years old. But I will tell you, as I think I did in my introduction, at age 25, I had another professor. I started at Southwestern. I was age 25. I didn't know what I was doing. And he took me, he immediately saw me as a fellow Goomba from Philadelphia. And he said, Frank, I want to sit you down. I want to show you what you can do here. He was an economics professor. He passed away many years ago. Oh, my, prematurely. He passed away far too young of a very unusual and fatal lung ailment. Tom Crescenzo, miss you. We miss you, Tom. And he said, Frank, I want you to get started now because, you know, this is a great job. You're going to love it. And we have a 403B, which is like a 401K. And you can put money away, you know, get a tax break now. If you do that, you will do very, very well. And I'm sure I said this in the introduction. So listen to my introduction of myself, and you'll hear what happened later on. There's a bit of a twist to the story. So realize that you don't have to do these problems. They are not going to be on the exam. But when we get to valuation of stocks, we're going to see problems that are very similar to this. But they're the inverse for you math friends. We're going to do present value calculations. And I hope I didn't scare you with that, because they're just as easy as these. They're just backwards. That's all. See ya, dear students. Be awesome. We're proud of you. Thank you so much for being in our class.